He'd be very pleased to trade for that.
Oh, boy. What a blanket. Thank you.
Gotta pay you guys something. But tell me, you're having a conference this morning.
Right. What did you folks like to, or something, and they want everybody right. That's a good, nice position.
Yeah.
Well, we ought to fill in with a conversation lesson I had with the speaker after we talked to Clark this afternoon. The speaker is against any limitation, period. He wants us to fight everything. And,
that's good. Will you stand up?
Well,
what is he?
He said that he would not support any amendment unless you talk to him personally. We tried to analyze the votes, and Les and I got, I think, the best information we can from the Democrats, that they say 116 of them were trying to support Betsy Whalen. And it's our best judgment on our side that we might lose 50. I'm not, frankly,
I think this is a conflict.
Yeah. So that's 160. So we had thought about this alternative that I guess Henry's office has worked on, which is sort of a reaffirmation of what you've been saying and what we've been doing.
Oil down version.
Right.
As a matter of fact, would be good. What did they finally get? They get something legible or readable, or get their version. Yes, sir. It takes the basic course right now. October 7th, the Gobbling got it is. It's relatively brief. It's less than one full page. And I see the point the fellows like to be something. Let me say, so that you will know where we stand, let me tell you exactly, let me say that you can get it in the proper thing that I told John Sherman Cooper when he was in here the other day. And he is going to oppose whatever.
Great.
So, unless somebody gets to him later, but I think he will. I said to him, John, we need your help because you have credibility among those who are going to have restrictions. I said, no. Be quite, be completely candid. I said, as far as negotiations are concerned, I said, I have never held out the hope that a certainty of negotiation or even raised false hopes about it. I said that we were continuing to try. And that, of course, is what that was. But I said, as of this time, right at this moment, it can be said that there is a chance for negotiation. I would not rate that chance as being a great chance, but there is a chance. And you could say perhaps a reasonable chance, which would put it in the magnitude of 50%, maybe it's 10, but the point is there's a chance. Now, that chance for negotiation is extremely important because if it can come through by negotiation, then all this talk about dates and so forth and so on, and BOWs, et cetera, becomes it'll look pretty irresponsible. Now, the chance of negotiation will be destroyed if the Congress at this time passes anything, which is interpreted by the enemy in Paris as being restrictive. Now, that doesn't mean that people and the Congress under these circumstances would have some responsibility for destroying the negotiating, and I will have to say that. Now, for your information, of course, I've got some people here because I can be a little more candidly, that chance will run out pretty soon. When it does, I'll tell you. And when it does, I will make an announcement. But as long as that chance exists, I've got to run it out. Now, time, I tell you, you say, how long? 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, just say it's going to run out pretty soon. I'm quite in busy. I'm not going to tell you that a year from now we're going to be talking like this. I'm not going to tell you that 6 months from now we're going to be talking like this. Because it just stands to reason that as we reduce our forces to below 200,000, what the hell are they consenting that they have to negotiate? Also, as far as we're concerned, we're going to move anyway. What do we have left to negotiate about except prisoners? So, on the other hand, they're worried. That's why, and there are other factors that are involved here. Put yourself in their position. They see us talking to the Chinese. They see us making a joint announcement with the Soviet. Forget all the gobbledygook that comes out of the Soviet leaders at this time. Nevertheless, hanging over is the fact that the Soviet-U.S. Understanding with regard to working toward the SALT agreement and the limitation of strategic arms has been committed by both sides. Now, under these circumstances, this has, this of course is, creates conditions which might improve the negotiation possibilities. I cannot tell you, I do not tell you, that there has been, at Bruce's level, and I've explored it right now, that there has been any breakthrough. But I do know that at this point, my own conclusion is that we are now at the stage where the last reasonable chance for negotiation is at hand. It will either come about or it will not. Probably not. That would be my guess at the moment. Possibly it might. So I have no choice but to ask all those who want to end the war with negotiation, which means ending it on a better basis than ending it through, well, we'll get out on December 31st, and the hell with everything else that happens, what happens with the South Vietnamese, the POWs, what happens with all the rest. You see, the difficulty with the congressional resolutions is that you can pass a resolution and say, within 30, 60 days after we get all the POWs, we will withdraw, or we'll do this and that and the other thing. That's just lovely. Put yourself in a position to answer what's he going to do. I can say that we will, we have another problem too, that you, from a political standpoint, this Carl, being either a statesman, the reason I'm playing politics is vigorously as some of the others. These guys are petrified of the possibility, our opponents, that we are going to end the war, and we will. I can promise you, it will be in. You well know. I mean, just look at the numbers. Look at what is happening. Of course it is. But they're petrified of the possibility, and they aren't in on it. So what they're trying to do, remember when we got out of Cambodia? I said at the time we went in, it'd be out in 60 days. And then they still had to screw around in the Senate and pass the Cooperture. Why? Because they wanted to make it appear that they forced us out. They knew it was a success, and they got very, very jittery at the last. At this point, from a political standpoint, the reason that Musky, the reason that Teddy, the reason that Hubert are all jumping in on this thing, is that they want to make it appear that the Democrats are the ones that brought about, that forced the president to do something with it anyway. Now let's look at the facts. What are the facts? Who got us in this? They did. Who's getting us out? We did. You know, you read these stories in the New York Times about it. If you want to be pretty cold-blooded about that, let the record show that that isn't anything about this administration. That report was made by a Pentagon group in 1968. And if anybody asks you about it, you can say that the president, when he came in, ordered a completely independent review. Because why should he take the opinions of those who got us into this war? That's how to get us out. Now, at this point, who are all these people that are chirping around? Muskie, look what he used to say when the other side was in. Hubert, look what he used to say when the other side was in. Look at what Teddy used to say when his brother got us into the thing. Now, we had never played that game, Maya, up to this point, never played. But at this point, what worries these fellows on the other side from a political standpoint is that they know very well that our withdrawal will continue, that there will be an announcement at an appropriate time, and they were sure that they get, frankly, a part of the political credit, and that we don't. On the other side of the card, we're not doing this for political credit. The point is, the reason that I'm just giving you the reassurance, I'm just telling you what I think motivates them. I know that an awful lot of your guys, our guys, frankly, are sick of the war, and they're hearing from people at home, and they say, God, can't we be for a date? And all their polls show that people are 70% for getting out, and I understand all that. But the main point is, they're going to look good. We're going to make our guys look good if they go stand firm. I've always said that, and we will. You both are going to be able to go into the next election looking damn good. I assure you of that. Now, I'm not going to tell you that, well, by the next election, you know, then they're going to say, what's he trying to do? Just hold this damn thing over so that we can do it the next election? Of course not. We'll do it tomorrow if you can. But you see, what is really involved here is that we now have the last reasonable chance for negotiation. And the question is, does the Congress want to destroy it? If so, the blood's on their hands. And it'll be the blood of 17 and some of the Spanish equivalent. That's it, Colbert. Now, I can assure you that, and I think that our fellows can be very interesting in finding out that. What are the facts? The clowns that got us in are now saying, why doesn't the president say what he's going to do? Who the hell has got this down? The casualties, for example, last week were 19, this week will be announced as 23. Let's face it, the war is ending. From a standpoint of combat, as Nell pointed out yesterday, probably 90% of the ground combat is now undertaken by the South Vietnamese. You can obviously see that within due time, it'll all be theirs. But what it just happens. It's always like it is at the end of a race. The runners get tired. The guy that just has that extra little burst wins the race. But at this point, I know it's awfully hard for you to get up and tell these fellows and say, but gee, we got to be some force on the rest. And the point is I'd like to say, well, wouldn't be bad to pass this or that other resolution. I can think of nothing, though, nothing except Mary reinstating these things that would be anything but harmful, because anything that indicates any lack of confidence in what the president is trying to do and lack of confidence in his negotiating position can only have the fact of destroying that chance. There it is. And we're really talking to between us perhaps about 90 days. But at that point, look, as soon as I have advanced the negotiating track, no longer is a dead end, then we'll be ready to talk about something else. But it hasn't reached that point. It's right now at the point that we may reach the destination. And that's where we are, in a nutshell.
Do you think, Mr. President, these rumors
could mean something?
Even though they don't come to us at the highest level, are they somewhat indicative that things
only this. All those who have observed their negotiations in the past noted that, for example, before the bombing halt, this same kind of rumor stuff went out. I mean, this and that and the other thing. Now, that doesn't prove that it will happen again. It does indicate that when they are about to negotiate, they usually put out a bunch of rumors. I mean, they all have some person at a lower level talking to somebody from somebody else, and so on. He says this, and he does the rest. But what I'm getting at is, let me put it this way. There is movement. There is some sort of movement. But to be completely honest also, there has been no movement that I consider significant on the part of, at Bruce's level, at him. But they know, and we know, that we now reach the moment of truth. It's here, but until we've got to run it out, because look at what it would mean, all what it would mean, if the chance did it all. And frankly, if it doesn't work, it would be all right, too. But if it did, look where it's going to put these people that have been second-guessing. So, and that's another reason. You see, another reason, that's what this is laying around. Another destroy the negotiations, and I'm in charge of that. They know that if they set a deadline, they'll destroy the negotiations. Now, they have said, they have charged what we've tried to do, Teddy Kennedy said, and what we're trying to do, that I don't want to settle it this year because I want to settle it next year. Well, what the hell is he talking about? That's out of his mind. But what they're trying to do is destroy the negotiations through setting a deadline, because they realize that that completely destroys every vestige of every attack they made. You know, we've been saying right along that we have to have the dome thing. We said we must have a famous wall so that we can continue to have a chance to negotiate. There's where it is right now.
Well, my inclination, Les, is you can't do anything different from this fundamentally, which is this alternative thing. And I think we'd have to not have forced apart. That's the one about South Vietnam. That would raise some hackles. I'm of the feeling that we ought to fight it out, but not get out.
May I say that I am frankly not keen on a half-assed resolution, frankly. And if you need it, it's all right. I know how fellows are to do it, but I can only say that you can try to make you look awful good. If our other issue proceeds to this one, at this point, I would be delighted. Because, look, suppose we don't negotiate. It might all work out, but it's going to be finished. You'll have an announcement in good time, plenty of good time. Moments announced, you know, doesn't make any difference on they'll all be out at the moment. So now the whole damn issue's over then. Finish.
President, I think we're going to win this thing regardless of what procedure we follow. But I'm trying to still stay with the original position that we just beat down everything if we possibly can. I'm flexible. I'll do what has to be done to make it look good or better or whatever it might be. But Jerry, I agree. I think things do just fight the thing right down the pea patch. Carl Albert was of that opinion. How strong he'll be, I don't know. Hale Boxer said he will even speak about it. I wish Carl would. I don't know what he would have. But then we have the group on our side, and I would say they are that minimum of 50, and that they just want something to hang your hat on, just something to hang your hat on. They don't want to be for the NEDV amendment. They don't want to, but they just want something to hang their hat on. Now, is it worth that effort? That's the whole point. I don't like to see our guys. They don't want to oppose what you want to do, Mr. President, a lot of our guys.
They aren't going to look good, are
they? No, they're not, and that's what I tell them. I say, you have red tape.
I will. Yeah. You understand on this issue?
Sure.
On this issue, all of our guys are on the same bag as the others.
That's right.
Including the 12 Senate.
That's right.
Right on the two.
We're not going to write the story, right? There's not going to be any fooling around. Nope. Isn't it paradoxical that the Senate appears to be stronger now? Or you're going to win by what, 10 or 12 votes?
I don't know. Well, we hope to, Jerry, although Bill DeYoung and Len Jordan of Idaho left the reservation, and Bob Taft is wavering, so we're shoring up that situation.
Taft has got 5 more years to go.
What's he wavering about? Well, sir, he's said he won't support the 1231-71 cutoff at the end of this year, but he said if they made it 6 months later, then he'd have to rethink it. That was the story in the Ohio paper this morning. You see that so it's 6 months later. What the hell is it?
What is that?
Oh, yeah, well, that's going to happen.
Sure.
Sure.
So 6 months later, it's like that mayor's committee that said by the end of 72 or earlier, well, now what the hell is that? All they're trying to do is to get a board.
Sure.
Christy, does he want to be a leader or a jerk?
Well, sir, I should say that this is an Ohio newspaper report that was telephoned to me from Ohio this morning, and I haven't reached Bob yet, so maybe it's an erroneous report.
Well, the point is that Bob has got to realize that he has two people yapping as he deals in Ohio, and his position is not going to put him a very good either. Because I have no choice on this. I hate to do it. I hate to do it to our own people. I know how they feel, and the rest, but we've never let them down yet.
And that's what Carl
Albert said that.
And look, Nick Lowes, it was a tough one. Remember, I said, the casualties, you know what they were last week? just a year ago at this time, 5 times as straight. Cash 5 times as straight, no, 6 times as straight, 120. What the hell, the cash is going to do? How did it happen? Something happened in between. Because they don't have the capability, you see. The casualties are down, the Americans are being withdrawn, and South Vietnam's going to make it. And look at the field of Mr. Rishkan.
This was interesting in our discussion with the speaker. The speaker said, I couldn't turn my back on a president who promised us that he was going to do this, this, and this, and he lived up to everything. Isn't that what he said?
Exactly what he said, yeah. He promised every word on everything.
So, the speaker was very firm, and I was,
I think, lying. There's promises to make, it's kept. And the fact that those who put that, if you put a deadline on them, let me say, if for example, that were passed, I would just have to call on Bruce and knock on the door. Right immediately.
Sure.
There's nothing to negotiate.
No, no, you can't.
You tell the enemy that, look, regardless of what you do, we're going to get out. Hell, forget the negotiations. You think for 1 minute that then they're going to do some appeal to this?
How do they ever expect to get any of those POWs back that way? I just...
We're going to get them. I don't have a problem.
Yep.
I just think it's going to look good on them.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe you and you at the press conference have to see if you can bring them home. They vote for any of these resolutions. It's a vote to bring home Ambassador Bruce immediately. I mean, to break off the negotiating talks.
Supposing that was said, I don't think we'd want to say, you said that.
No.
That's your interpretation of what was supposed to happen. It would destroy the negotiations. So why not?
Well, it's quite clear from the discussion. We said that this is destroy the new process. I hate to put you in a position. It's a tough one. But you will find that through the years, this is more difficult among others because of the press and the health. Always as far as you get toward the end, or you're always thinking the World War One is particularly true. I'm afraid of yakking about the World War and the Civil War, you know. And everybody was talking about what should be done. And Monday it's over. On this one, however, we have a different situation. We know it's going to be a physical question like World War One, do we have to wait until the end? And we're getting out. Period. We're done. Now what the hell? Why don't they believe it?
Yeah.
Makes it get out sooner. Well, what are we talking about? The difference of what? 6 months, 8 months, or 9 months? Who knows? You know goddamn well it's going to prevent it out. So that's really why I don't see how it's very difficult for me to understand. I understand the Democrats are desire to try to destroy the negotiations. Those that are looking to be politically attacked, good God.
We've got a little problem tomorrow. You know, our conference on this starts at 10. We've got this other matter on confirming H.R. Gross for that committee. You ought to be up there, man.
I'll leave it then until 10, yeah.
We'll get out.
Yeah. We'll have a better
meeting at 8. We should be through by 10. We'll list. If you have a conference at 10, let's say I'm wanting to get it, I want to get him up there before the others. Let's have the leaders an hour and 15 minutes tomorrow. Cut something out of the agenda.
Keep it running.
Well, just keep it set up the schedule. Keep it running. Well, what I mean is that our agenda may be too long, but it's more important for them to get up there and have this conference than it is for us to gather along more here. We can do it an hour.
And I think somebody ought to be up there right after that conference is over, say a quarter to 12, and we have to get off the House floor, so we can just bring you right up to date, right to that minute, as to what the development report is in that conference, as to whether or not we can just go bang through or not.
I'm going to have to go there.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Come on, my officer.
Let me say this. You guys have just done a terrific job, and I know that. It's just tough as hell. You had to fight these battles over and over again. And when you talk to the media, how they're responsible. Can you imagine, Jerry, you remember the Hiss case, my God, that we sent Hiss to the pen for perjuring himself about delivering a few papers to Chambers, well, of course, for the Congress. But the New York Times published literally thousands of secret, top secret documents. That's getting into the eyes. What the hell do you think of that? And everybody says, oh, well, we don't like this. same media, however, who supported his, support this kind of thing. Because, in other words, giving information to a communist is not to the communist, to serve the communist cause, is not treasonable.
Wait, I think we could win. I'd rather be on the side of taking a tough approach. But we're going to have some troubles with John Anderson, who thinks we ought to have an alternative. I think John will support us. If there was any, well, the reason we wanted John down here is to
work on
it. To work on it. And if there was any way tomorrow that you might take a minute or two with telling him, much like you've told us, I think it would be very helpful.
Sure. Couldn't the president do that generally with all the leaders? Couldn't the president make a force like that? He's got
the Senate there, yeah. Any problems? Yeah, the Senate there.
Well, most of the leaders, both the Senate side and the House side, are living there.
Yes.
And,
yes.
I say most of the leaders, both Senate and House, are with us on this. I don't know of any good.
I don't know of a leader who was voted for, and that's a white letter who was going to vote for.
I checked him out. He's all right.
Is he?
He's going to vote with us. Yeah, Bob is
after
that.
Well, Bob is the only one I was worried about.
The difficulty with talking to him is that I don't want anybody to walk out and say, in fact, look, we're going to have a negotiation.
Yeah.
The problem is that I can talk quite candidly to you to say, this is the last reasonable chance. That chance we will soon know. I won't say how soon is. It's either going to happen or not. And then after that, looks like, you know, naturally, what the hell, you don't think for one minute we don't want to get the political benefit of getting a loss as early time possible in that announcement. Hell, we're going to announce it just as soon as we can. As soon as I know that we will not hurt negotiation, that we will not be struggling. As soon as I know the negotiation, if we do have to, we do learn this, that it is going to work. We'll make an offer.
Even Gene McCarthy is against the
terminal
thing.
Yeah.
Sure.
Why?
It's giving away one of the things we can negotiate. The Christian Science Monitor had a very complimentary editorial on the basis of Gene McCarthy's statement that we shouldn't set a terminal date.
Gene said that terminal date was not a political demonstration.
Well, it is.
Well, he knows. He's just honest enough that the purpose, I don't use it, the purpose of this, if you got within the high councils of each of the Democratic candidates, you would buy. They know what they're petrified at the thought that we will end it. Negotiation with each other, and even the other, the longer way of doing, that they even don't want to end the other way today, because they'll say, then you've got to, you know what the argument is. They got us in the war, we got to stop. How the hell do you want to be in that position? So they're trying desperately to get aboard. That's what the problem is.
Now they want to will prove to their friends
that they forced us to do something we weren't going to do otherwise. That they ended the war. Don't you agree?
Sure, there's no best
defense. President, this goes back almost to Hoover's days. I mean, when they said either Democrats win, let the country go to hell. And that's exactly what they did. Right through the Democrat National Committee with Charlie Michelson and all those people. They built the cave, went to the country, and they said, let the country go. They just didn't care.
No.
As long as they could win the election, they're right back at it again. And Clark Clifford, I'm so mad at that guy. I could choke. I can't hardly speak to him anymore.
Well, he's terrible. He's really being disloyal.
Oh, yeah. I've got some of these quotes.
Johnson feels this way, too.
Yeah. Well, what about Larry Bryan's statement? That was, I'm a little surprised that would be. Larry Bryan said it would not be an issue next year. I don't know what he...
He knows goddamn well it won't be. So
yeah.
He's probably trying to be honest.
Yeah.
He's realistic. Yeah. Look, you both.
Sure.
But the point is, we don't want to indicate that we're going to do it just because of the election.
Sure.
And as soon as we can, of course, look at the numbers.
Yeah.
And incidentally, we know very, very well if we can't handle that.
I think it's better to be
on the negotiating track, let me say. Even 6 months ago, the chances for negotiation were less than now. Mainly because as you get to the end, they're either going to negotiate now or they're going to be ending. Now there's something in it for them to negotiate too, see? they get us out of the center, or if they receive fire, or get the bombing all over, or something like, you know, a lot of things. So you see, they've got to think long and hard as to whether or not they want us to stay in there and continue to bomb, or whether they would like to have a ceasefire negotiation. See?
Fred, I kind of feel with Kyle Albert, I'm pretty sincere on this thing, for the very simple reason. Lay action on this amendment late in the afternoon of that day, plus the fact that he even called Danny Hopkins County, who was going to put in the sheriff, got Danny in committees up over the telephone, that in case of any close vote over there, a tie vote or anything, he would vote with the sheriff of the committee.
Even though he felt there would be personally
on
the what is the date of their vote?
Well, we start tomorrow. I don't see how we can vote for late Wednesday.
We thought it would be strategically wise to wait until the Senate voted down Governor Hatfield.
Yeah.
So we get the psychological benefit, particularly if the vote looks as encouraging as you are indicating.
We'll keep in close session on Jerry during the course of the day.
Well, if you all I would indicate that that vote looks that good. I would play
no,
that.
We haven't been as
good as that. Very close vote.
Yeah. We have to
do it by 3 votes. That's great.
It's the proponents that say, oh, we're sunk. You know, we're
not going to make it
purely for trying to lull us to sleep.
And also to make it appear that they did much better than was anticipated. Mm-hmm. Now, I just beat them.
And then that's I think you beat them. And then, as I say, Jerry, just tell your guys, for God's sakes, they're going to have something good around here. I mean, they're going to be weird. They say, well, we want something to vote for. What's really going to matter? How they voted here, or what happens?
Yeah,
what happens is going to matter. Whether this administration keeps its commitment and the war, we're going to keep it. I said, we're doing it. Right.
And I think I did.
Thank you very much.